Philippians chapter 4 there. We'll stay there for the whole message this evening. Some of you are travelers. And how many of you wish you traveled more? Some. How many of you wish you traveled less? Yeah, I know my wife's going to raise her hand, Bill. When you travel, tell me something you have to have with you. Let's go ahead. When you travel, must travel. Have this, will travel. You've heard that statement before. What do you have to have, Grant? Clothes. Amen. That's very important. Brother George said your wife. Yes, because if Brother George didn't take his wife, he would be lost. Mrs. George? Money. How many of you never have enough money when you travel? Yeah, right. My dad said a gas card. A gas card. Amen. Stephanie? Mode of transportation. All right. Man, we're getting into more broad things. I was thinking more maybe like the personal things like toothbrush, toothpaste. Marcy? Shoes. What? Mitchell's girls never wear shoes at church. You guys just wear them in the door. I'm surprised you have them on right now. I mean, you'll notice the Mitchell girls always run around here with never having any shoes. I've prayed several times about taking up an offering for the Mitchell kids to have some shoes. Amen. All right, who else I saw a hand? Evan?
A good playlist of music.
A good playlist of music. That's important. It's nice to have some good music when you travel. Yeah, good. Who else? Brother Stephen? Snacks. How many of y'all fly sometimes? You fly, they always give you the cheapest snacks on the planet. Yeah. You know, like six-year-old peanuts and six-year-old pretzels. It's like, man, I just paid $400 for this ticket. And you can't give me at least a sandwich or a bag of chips. Somebody say amen right there. Or a candy bar. And they don't ask you. They just throw it at you. Here's your snack, man. Sit there and be quiet. Keep your belts up. Keep your seatbelt buckled, amen. All right, who else? Wesley? You're speaking for your mom and she has to have 4 cups of coffee when they travel? Wow, that's like borderline disease issues, man. I'm going to pray for you, amen. All right, who else? Brother Stephen? What? Oh, restroom breaks. Hey, I know all about those. I know all about those and travel girls, amen. Yes, Allison? Toothbrush and toothpaste, thank you. That's important. How many things is important to travel with your toothbrush and toothpaste, right? Brother Koontz? A purpose for your trip, very good. Now you're starting to get toward my message, all right. Clara? Pizza and food. Like I said, pizza and food. You can tell this around teenagers all the time. All right, I'm going to give you the 3 things I absolutely never travel without. Well, I shouldn't say never. One of them I sometimes do, but most of the time never without. Brent? A suitcase full of clothes. What if it's your sister's clothes? You want to be more specific? All right, your clothes, right? Very good. Who else? When you have something. Yes, Mrs. Sampson. Medication. If I was married to him, I'd probably need a lot of medication, too. I'm sorry, Brother Sampson. You just have that look on your face. Just pick on me tonight, okay? Right? Right, Mrs. Sampson? She's not going to answer my question, Brother Koontz. Without praying, that's really good. Our family always grants our prayer warrior. He prays from the back seat before we travel. That's good. Mindy? A destination. That's really good. Now you guys are starting to go toward the message. Very good. Nicole? Praying for others that have accidents on the road. Or how about praying for others that don't know how to move out of the left lane? Amen to that one, right? All right, one or two more. Janelle? First your Bible and then second your phone. But some people would switch, right? You've got to have the phone first. Well, she mentioned one of mine. Grant? What? Deodorant. Amen. I go to many teen camps where teenagers forgot their deodorant. I can tell you that. Donnie? Directions. This man travels a lot. He's driven truck. I can't even talk today. He's driven. He has trucks before, and so he needs directions for that. Amen. Yes, Kenny. A pillow. You're one of those guys that travel a pillow, huh? I just use the motel pillow, whatever. But my wife likes her pillow. Who likes their pillow? You have a pillow? Wow! I didn't realize there's that many. How many of you don't carry? Just use any pillow, right? Very good. Okay, that's how I am. I use any pillow. All right. I saw one more, Ethan. Extra power for your devices. Oh, man. Airports have changed over the last 5 or 6 years, that's for sure. Always, they have all these power. Everyone's walking around looking for places to plug. You can always see where people are congregated around power outlets, plugging in their devices, right? Well, there's 3. All right, 2 more and we're done. Marcy? If you're flying, you need a passport. You need a passport when you fly to Florida? No? Are you sure? Florida's a different country. It's not Arkansas. You got to have a passport for Arkansas, right? All right. Yes, you're right. When you travel out of the country, you have to have your passport or you're not going anywhere. Claire, last one. A shower. Travel with a shower. That's a blessing. Amen. travel Travel with a shower. There's three things I must take with me. One, this year we had 31 meetings and 29 of my family with me. Well, obviously, you know, you preach like take his family with him. There's two other things I have to have with me. That's my Bible and my apple cider vinegar. Yeah, I know you think I'm crazy, but ask my wife. If I travel, what do I always have with me? My apple cider. Every morning I drink my apple cider vinegar. That's my Baptist booze. It keeps me sane, and I love it. Praise God for that. But what I'm saying is this. The point we're trying to make is that there are some things that we just have to have accompany us in certain issues, because without them, we're going to really lack for it. There's been times in the busyness of our travel, I'll never forget one time I completely forgot my hygiene bag. I mean, I have a little bag when I pack, and I was packing all my kids. We drove about 3 hours toward a camp, and it's too late for me to go back home. So I had to stop at a store and buy my deodorant, my toothbrush, toothpaste, so that my wife would kiss me all week. Amen. I mean, I just had to get those things. Because I forgot to take it with me, there's something you just have to have. And Marcia is actually right. You don't have a passport, you're not leaving the country. Period. The other country won't take you. You have to have a passport. There's some things you just have to travel with. And I want to encourage us tonight to learn something from the Apostle Paul, because Philippians chapter 4 is an amazing chapter. It's really an amazing chapter. Philippians chapter 4 is a chapter where Paul teaches about Christianity at the pretty much the highest level you can live. You see, when Paul writes his epistles, as you read some of the epistles he writes, you'll see he's addressing different levels of maturity, all right? For example, 1 Corinthians versus 2 Corinthians. If you're a student of the Bible, you'll see that Paul's instructions in 1 Corinthians are a little different than his instructions in 2 Corinthians. Why? Well, because from the time he wrote 1 Corinthians, those people had been reading and studying and had grown a little bit. So when the Holy Spirit led Paul to write 2 Corinthians, you see a different angle. Also 1 and 2 Thessalonians, also 1 and 2 Timothy. You'll see 1 Timothy, Paul reminds him of the wealth of salvation and a lot of the basic doctrines. But then in 2 Timothy, he reminds Timothy to finish like he's finishing and to stay to the truth. Well, Philippians chapter 4 is, in my opinion, one of the chapters in all the New Testament that really applies to Christians who are looking to live Christian life at the highest level. Meaning you've passed the level of worrying. Because a lot of Christians have a problem with worrying. The Bible teaches about that. You don't struggle with the issue of rejoicing in God every day. Philippians chapter 4 addresses that. Your thought life has become a thought life that's pleasing to God. Philippians chapter 4 addresses that. You're not afraid to attempt or embrace anything because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians chapter 4 addresses that. Also, Philippians chapter 4 addresses being content. Paul said it doesn't matter if I'm full or I'm hungry. I am content. If I'm abounding or if I'm lacking, I'm still content. And Paul addresses these issues in chapter 4. Now, if you look in other instances of the epistles, Paul will talk about prayer specifically and instruct on it. He talks about prayer in Romans chapter 8. He talks about prayer in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He talks about prayer in several other chapters in these different epistles as it applies to the church. And now some have said that the church at Philippi may have been the most mature Christians of all the Christians that he wrote to. Some have argued that before. I'm not saying it is or not. I'm just saying I've heard or read that. But could it be because when he gets to these four short chapters of this amazing book, he teaches and talks about a level of Christianity that sadly today in America, not many attain. You understand that our three great enemies, according to the Bible tonight, are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And when we get saved, it's funny. I tell teenagers sometimes, you should not struggle with things in the world, because if you're trying to live for God, you won't have to lose the world. The world usually will lose you. I just was contacted by many of my former teammates in high school. High school championship teammates. It's the 25-year anniversary of our first state championship. And they've invited me to come and participate in a huge event this coming weekend where I would be honored with my team for the 25-year anniversary of our first state championship. Well, guess what it is? It's Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. I'm not going. Why? I'm going to be here. So I informed them of that, and it's amazing how the world just doesn't understand it. And by the way, I'm glad I can start reaching these guys. Two or three of my teammates have been saved since, and I'm discipling them a little bit. One of them is a retired Marine, and he's just a great guy. And so what an opportunity for that. But at the same time, I have learned that when I got saved and started serving God, I didn't have to really always say, hey, I'm not going to do what you're going to do anymore. They just stop inviting you to things. They start losing you. Most Christians are never bothered by the devil because the devil knows we can't even defeat our flesh. We're so in love with our flesh or so controlled by our flesh that we never even face a lot of opposition from the devil because we're still in love with our flesh. So it's the world, I believe, then it's the flesh, and it's the devil. And very few Christians arrive to that devil level where the devil actually, you actually have his attention. By the way, you don't really want it, but you should be at a point in your Christian life where the devil actually knows we are functioning and trying to do something for God. And you don't have to be a preacher to do that either. There's some good godly people in this world, Christians I met in the Bahamas, that I think have the devil's attention because they're doing something for God. But we have to get past the flesh. And when we start to venture away from our flesh, when we start to get victory over the flesh, when we start to live what we call the Spirit-filled life, you'll start to see the Christian life in a different way. And Paul, I believe, is arriving to that. By the way, what does he say right before he writes chapter 4? He says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the calling of Jesus Christ. He's saying, I am going forward. I am new heights I'm gaining every day. He is improving his Christian walk. He wanted to be better today than he was yesterday, and his goal is to be better tomorrow than he is today. That's Paul's life. That's why we still talk about Paul 2,000 years later. But in this chapter, he addresses prayer in a little different way. I want you to see what he says here. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, and I'll give you four quick points and I'll be done. Number one, look at this. Okay, I'm sorry, hold on. Let's look at verse number 6 again. Be careful for nothing. All right? So that's old English. It's a little bit of older English phrase, which means simply in 2016, you ready for this? Don't worry, be happy. That's what it means. He's saying, don't worry. That's really what that phrase means. And can I tell you, I think more than we want to admit, worry is a huge problem in the Christian movement. And worrying is a problem because worry consumes the mind of a man or a woman or a teenager even. It consumes our mind, and if it consumes our mind, it then robs us of the potential of prayer or meditation. All right, so number one, it says, be careful for nothing. Watch this. But in how many things? Everything. Man, I remember when I was in Bible college, the professor taught us, never be general. Always be specific. God doesn't want you to preach about all things and everything. And I found out God's always saying everything and all things. So forget that, professor, amen. God says in everything. All right, here's what he says. In everything, by what? Help me now. Prayer. All right, we've addressed that issue for several months now. By prayer and supplication. All right, what's the difference between the two? Anybody know? I'm sure some of you know, prayer is simply asking. Supplication is, which means asking for anything, good weather, you know, maybe asking specifically for yourself, prayer needs. Supplication is specifically asking on behalf of somebody else. All right, so there's a little bit of a difference there. But the point is they both are still together because of prayer. In other words, God is saying now, watch this now. Again, we're going to a different level of Christianity, prayer life. He's saying, don't just pray for yourself or those that live within your walls, the us for no more mentality. Start praying for others. But then he adds something else. Watch this now. As you travel, watch this now, travel this journey of prayer, he says, take something with you. Allow something very vital to accompany you so that it will improve your prayer life. Now watch this. This is so interesting because we've been taught, watch this now, by prayer and supplication, we then let our requests be made known unto God. But God puts this beautiful little word in there called with before he says to make our requests made known. So watch this. Prayer and supplication are the actual activities of the Christian now, spiritually speaking. We're going to pray. That's where I specifically pray for things that I need or maybe my family. Then I'm going to supplicate. That's where I'm praying on behalf of somebody else. Supplication was prayers that we have for the election. Supplication is prayers we have for our missionaries. Supplication is prayers we have for America, for revival, for different things. That's supplication. Again, they're still together, but they're still a little different, or else God wouldn't put them there. And then God says, let those requests in prayer and supplication be made known unto God. Right? It's that simple. But still, he's not through. He puts in two beautiful words. He says, with thanksgiving. What? What? Yes. Well, I thought we've been taught that thanksgiving and prayer are two separate things where you pray, and then let you say thanks. God's actually saying in the midst of your prayer, in the midst of your supplication, throw it all in the pot. And while you're on this journey, Going back to saying, know about your destination. The destination is to get some answers in the midst of this prayer, in the midst of this supplication, in the midst of me pouring my heart out to God and saying, God, I want you to answer these specific requests. I'm going to stop sometimes, bathroom breaks, if you will, and thank God for answering prayer. Thanksgiving. All right. So how do we pray with? Watch this now. How do we pray with Thanksgiving? Number one, you pray with truth. All right, when you're praying with truth, listen, it's been often said the only place on this planet you cannot tell a lie is in prayer. You can't lie in prayer. You can try, but you can't. Have you ever done something wrong and you got ready to confess it to God and you actually tried to maybe explain yourself to God and it just didn't work out? I've done it many times. Well, God, what happened was, all right, I did it. Right? Look, if we're going to get back to old-fashioned prayer, we got to be just honest. We got to just pray and supplicate and be thankful in truth. And the Bible addresses the truth here. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, it talks about specifically standing fast in the Lord. That is truth. The Bible says in verse number 3 that we've been written down in the book of life. In the same verse it says that they've labored with me in the gospel. Verse number 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Bible is full and peppered with truth. Prayer is something we can do. And when we can pray specifically in the arena of truth. When I pray specifically, I can quote verses to God. I can throw phrases back to God. I can challenge God. Why? Because I pray and I supplicate in truth. 2 Chronicles 7, chapter 7, verse 14. If my people should call upon my name, the famous verse that we use for revival, that verse is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible that points out that we can pray in truth. Because if we repent, if we turn from our ways, then God will hear our prayer and heal our land. That's a problem. That's truth prayer right there. All right, number 2, you got to pray with trust. You pray with trust. Now watch this. This is a blessing, though, because as we journey through this prayer, and by the way, all of us take trips every day of our life, whether it's a 15-minute drive or a 15-hour drive, right? And you got to take some things with you. You ready for this? You got to have your car keys, or you ain't going anywhere. Well, some people have these fancy, you can just push a bunch of buttons. Well, then you better memorize the code. If you forgot your head, you ain't going anywhere. Somebody say amen right there. All right, but you got to have car keys. You got to have maybe a briefcase for work. You got to have some technology, your laptop or some, or my wife said, cell phone. We're living in a time now where people literally go, as soon as you lose your phone, they get nervous. I mean, Americans, I think, are more worried about losing their phone than losing their kids. We're talking about a company I'm being with, and I mean, how many of y'all have let your kid somewhere before? Y'all know Don Kuntz's famous story. He left Rick Kuntz at the post office when he's 2 years old. The sad part is he came back and picked him up. I'd have left him there for good, say amen. My wife and I have had many. We made the mistake of starting to pull out of the parking lot of church and realize that one or two of our kids might still be here. Thank God we didn't leave them long. But listen, as we pray, we need to pray in trust. When we go on this journey of prayer, again, it goes back to what I talked about this morning. One of the most basic things God wants us to do, and yet the devil hinders us or our flesh hinders us all the time, is to trust God. Boy, I'm preaching myself right now because we fail in this area. We just don't trust God enough. We begin, especially as Americans. Come on, church, as Americans, we struggle with this because we become so accomplished as Americans. We live in the American dream. Most of the people in this room have your own house. You have a decent car. You have a good job. We live in the American dream. We get to the point where we think we can do without God. We trust in our God-given talents. We trust in our God-given skills. I would like to think God has given me some talent that I can use for Him. And one of my biggest fears as a preacher is that I become so dependent on the talents He's given to me instead of the God of the talents. And so as Christians, whether it's a husband, father, wife, mother, we have got to continue to trust Him. We have to be like that little child who says, I'm going to trust my mom and dad to keep me safe. We've got to trust God. We have to pray and supplicate with thanksgiving, with trust. All right, number 3, watch this now. With thought. With thought. All right, now watch this. Now, we as Christians in America today have a big problem with this subject. We have allowed so much technology, entertainment, media to do most of our thinking for us. We have trained our... Boy, there's some great technology. There's some great... Of course, it's in DVD form, right? Technology. There's DVDs out there that are out there now. One's called Captivated. It's worth watching. I've almost shown it to the church before. It's phenomenal. My wife and I saw it at a camp. It talks about how... the more and more we look at screens and technology, we are weakening our minds. A recent study showed, and I still have a hard time believing this, that the average goldfish has a longer attention span than a teenager. That's pretty bad. Instead of a game show called "Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?", how about "Are You Smarter Than the Average Goldfish?" Somebody help me right there. And God gifted us with something that the devil knows is so precious to him and so precious to us, and our arsenal of weaponry against Satan and against the flesh, and that is our thoughts. Our thoughts. And the reason we have failed in our prayer life and our supplication life, and we're not even praying with thanksgiving, is because we don't use this mind anymore. We don't think like God wants us to think. We have most of us can't even get in the car without some kind of music on or some kind of radio on. We have to have the TV on all the time at home. We have to have our cell phones within reach. We have to make sure we see this. And look, I have to fight it all the time. Sometimes we just need to learn to leave our phones alone and get alone and get quiet. What if somebody dies? They'll still be dead when you're done, when you find out. Right? I'll never forget someone just giving me a hard time years ago because I said I don't give my daughters cell phones. And I still have that stand, by the way. And you do what you got to do with your family, but I just don't. I've seen too much heartbreak from it. My kids don't have cell phones. They can use ours. Someone said, "What if they get a flat tire on the road?" I said, "I forgot. Back in the day, they got flat tires. They just died on the side of the road. They just died. They just died. I'm sorry. We didn't know you were there. We love you, but you died." Listen, where is it at? This right here. Has changed America more than anything in the last 5 or 6 years. Right here. Watch this. My wife and I were in the Bahamas last week. Everybody in Bahamas has cell phones now. When we were there last time, she was carrying a camera. For those teenagers, it's an old device. You used to push button, it took pictures. And then you bring it back home and you take out this little black roll and you go to Walmart and put a little bag and drop it off. And then about a week later, you come back and there'd be pictures in there. My wife's like, we didn't even pack a camera. You know why? Because this took pictures. Right. And these took pictures better than the camera did. And my daughters, I told them, "Man, I wish I forgot to ask you, Jason, about your underwater camera. Man, I got some good sights last week." They said, "Daddy, they have water." Don't text me right now. I know some of you are texting me right now. My phone's lighting up. Some of you are texting me. Carnal Christians here. So my daughter said, "Daddy, they have waterproof cases." I was like, "What?" So I could take my cell phone underwater and take a picture of the stingray. There's a stingray. Tick, tick, you know. I mean, it's amazing. Literally, this right here has changed America. And I'm not saying it's been all for the bad. I appreciate this. I really do. I'm grateful. How many are grateful for these? I am. I'm grateful for this. But you know, recently, for the first time in American history, Facebook took over the Bible as the most read item every day in America. The Bible used to be number one, even over the newspapers. You know that? The newspaper was always in the top five, but Facebook became number one. The Bible got bumped to number two just last year. Right here. Well, it's so easily accessible. I mean, just boom, hit a button, there I am. I have the whole world at my hand, fingertips. I have news, I have sports, I have social media. Everything is right there. All right, fine. It's there. We got to deal with it. But why not use it for good? Why don't we go to this notepad right here and list things we're thankful for? I have a list of things. I have right here, my second item on my list is prayer and meditation. I have another thing down here on blessing God. I have another thing on here on I am amazed. And sometimes your pastor will jump down these lists and read these things to get my, and with nothing in the background, no music, no nothing, just to keep my mind, listen, from the dangers of being only amused. God says to muse. But we live in a world that wants amusement. So thoughts are important. All right, number four, and I'm done. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly. I'm just trying to help you. I have one, all right? But listen, it's changed our lives. This has changed the world. And by the way, just to be the bearer of good news, we Americans have helped pay the cell phone bill for the rest of the world. The Bahamians and the Filipinos and all of them have cell phones. They pay $3 a week. Now we understand why our cell phone bills are so high. It's a conspiracy. All right, number four, and I'm done. All right, so watch this. We have prayer. We have supplication. We're going to let our requests be made known unto God. All right, now watch this. So we have with truth, with trust, with thought, and lastly, here we go, and finally, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Wouldn't it be something if as we're on our journey of prayer, let's just talk about it. It's a 15-minute journey. Let's say we're going to pray for 15 minutes, okay? Everybody's different. All right? Let me just give you a scenario and I'm closing. I'm done with this. All right. And by the way, the verse for thoughts is verse 8. We already read it, but I mean, the Bible says think on these things. There's a whole long list of things you can think on. Right, let's look at verse number 16. And I'm closing with this. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. By the way, the sign for with is beautiful. This is one entity, this is one entity, and they're accompanying each other. With. All right, so prayer, supplication, request made me known, and in the midst of that, God says, with thanksgiving. All right? So I'm praying 15 minutes. Let's just take 15 minutes as an example. I begin to pray. I confess my sins. I ask God to forgive me. I make sure my heart's right with Him. I often ask Him to make sure my heart's right with others, with people. And sometimes He lays people on heart, and I want to talk to people, make sure my heart's right with people, preachers, church members, my own kids, my wife, whatever. And then I begin to specifically pray for different things. I have lists. Sometimes I don't Euclid list. Sometimes I'm just praying. But what if in the midst of this prayer, like 3 or 4 minutes in, I stop and take a little detour and I go to a rest area, or I call it the Thanksgiving area. And in the midst of that, I begin to thank God for what He has done and for what He will do, because I'm about to ask Him for some things. One preacher taught us in Bible calls that the best prayer warriors in history, if you read their journals, they prayed with so much expectation that they went ahead and thanked God before the prayer was even answered. That's what you call praying with thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving is usually something you give after there's a reason to be thankful for that which was blessed to you. But as Christians, many times we suspend thanksgiving. And again, we're going back to the basic doctrines of prayer. And we just pray and pray and pray. And then when we get the answers, then we thank, which is fine. That's great. But Paul's saying, why don't you go ahead and insert thanksgiving right now? You don't see that phrase with thanksgiving much in the other epistles, because in Philippians chapter 4, Paul is taking us to a different level of Christianity. And that's a challenge for all of us, including myself tonight, to maybe start praying with thanksgiving. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you for listening so well.
I